This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Morning. What's up?
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Watched some great playoff games yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I was going to say, I'm like joking, kidding. They were awful. Did take part in a dollar wing night, which is electric. Love that. Love that.
Missed the times where that was a quarter. And those times were not that far away, actually.
I'll tell you,
though. I'm not that old.
I'll tell you, though. Yeah, quarter would be nice. I'm still probably getting 10 wings.
Yes.
We'll see if we go to round two.
That is actually something about it. It's more about that it's a deal for you.
Yeah.
Not that you're going ham on wings.
Yeah, I'm not all of a sudden going to be like, well, now today.
Just because it's cheaper does not mean my stomach has more room for you.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Because I remember when we were walking out of here, I said that, and you like hit me in the shoulder like multiple times. You're like, yeah.
I was jazzed.
And then you also, like me, did not finish even your 10 wings.
No. I've lost it, man. I've lost the touch. I really have.
No, ready? You're slimmer.
I've completely lost it, man.
I have no excuse for not finishing 10 wings and taking them home.
I completely lost it.
Yeah.
I had it where like that was chump change. No worries. No issues. Gone in 20. And that's because I like to talk. Now, what are we doing here?
Well, but again, just because it's cheaper doesn't mean that there's more room in your stomach.
That's right. It's because I got older. Now my body's like, hey, no, you can't do that.
I don't know what this whole bit is with you saying that you're old when you're not.
I'm older now.
But I have a problem.
I am older now.
I'm gaining a problem.
When I was 18, the stomach was an empty, just cavernous waste where I could, no problems. I'd then go to practice, burn it all off, we'd still be good. Now, I can't do what I once did, man. I'm an athlete out of his prime. And it's only hitting me recently. I'm still playing the game, but I'm a little slow. I'm that step slower, Derek. I'm a step slower. You know, and it's sad.
Wow.
And it's sad. And you know, the commentators are talking about it going, man, it's just, he doesn't have that fastball anymore.
803-0550, is Zach washed?
And they pan over to me, and I got that look on my face, too, like me and my wife got to have the conversation. It might be time to call the career. Might be time. It's tough. It's tough to acknowledge it, but you gotta.
I don't know how to process any of what you're saying right now.
It's fine. You know what I don't know how to process? The bad playoff games we've had in these conference finals.
I was gonna say that conversation might have been as disappointing as the games last night.
Look, I want to, and I have. I've acknowledged I really enjoy the Florida Panthers. And I'm coming to grips with the fact that I kind of like that no one likes the OKC Thunder. Like that they're sort of these villains before they've even won anything. I'm enjoying it. But I want to be entertained in these conference finals before the final. We had to deal with this for 2 months. These are a grind of playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to the end can be something even for diehard sports fans of like, I'm checking out.
You need a reason to keep coming.
I got to have a reason to keep coming. And watching the conference finals literally outside of Knicks Pacers be pretty much blowout after blowout after blowout of very clearly there is a better team here.
Yeah.
Is really deflating. Now, I've loved, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Does he go to the free throw line a lot? Yeah, but last night he went 4 times and still put up like 32 points. He has been on a tear recently with Edmonton. Them going, we're going to give up 5 goals in game 1 since 16-3 goal difference there.
including another shutout from Stuart Skinner, which is hilarious.
Lights out. Lights out. And then Florida, just it doesn't matter about the injuries. They when they are somewhat healthy or somewhat just on the ice, Carolina is just not in the same class as them. There is something entertaining to it, but after about 2 months of a grind through the playoffs, I need more than just appreciating teams. I need to like appreciate the series. I need to see the storylines develop rather than, oh, is Tyrese Halliburton actually the most underrated basketball player? Because, you know, we didn't talk about him for 15 years. I mean, that's my thing, too. Oklahoma City and Indiana. All in likelihood, it's going to be Indiana in the NBA Finals. The rating is going to be horrendous there. But it's also because no one stopped talking about Boston or New York the entire playoffs. And then the only reason they stopped talking about the Lakers is they were out in round one. OKC won 60-plus games this year. They are going to be part of the 90s Bulls and the 72-win Golden State Warriors of the most games they've won in a season. If they win the NBA title, they will have won 84 games this year.
Mm-hmm. That's...
And outside of like Oklahoma City, I don't think anybody knows. Did you see the report yesterday that their conference finals tickets for last night's game, you know, the game to clinch going to the NBA finals last night, ticket price was like $172.
That's... Honestly, I
paid $90 to get into the Bandits game.
I'm going to say this. I think that it's nice to not see price gouging for a ticket like that. I genuinely like that. I am of the sort that I'm worried that professional sports are pricing out the average fan, and that eases my concerns a day like that. It really does. Like I feel that in a different sense is enlightening to me, heartening, so to say. I want more games to be that cheap.
I was going to say, I'm not complaining about that, but it's just more, I think it also pushes like, OKC is just a forgotten franchise that has somehow won 62 games. And what's crazy is they shouldn't be. Since getting to Oklahoma City, they've had Kevin Durant, MVP, all-time great. Russell Westbrook, MVP, borderline all-time great. I don't think so. James Harden.
At least a franchise great.
Yeah, yeah. They went to an NBA Finals in 2012. Like, they've always been in the zeitgeist. They've always been on the tips of NBA fans' tongues. And yet, when they actually have, like, easily their best team ever... Easily. Mm-hmm. They are going to dominate for the next few years because of draft picks and the young team they have. It feels like outside of like true hoop knowers, no one cares about it.
Thank you to Chris Paul and Paul George, I guess. The returns they got on those have set up everything for them.
The key to getting
and they're not even done.
Yeah, the key to getting to the NBA Finals, by the way, get rid of Paul George. Indiana, a few years
right.
ago. Oklahoma City.
Oh
just,
my.
Just get rid of Paul George. You're going to the NBA Finals.
Is he still in LA?
It might take some time. He's with the Clippers, I believe.
Yeah, because that was the big deal is that he suddenly ended up going to LA. And
no, he's with Philly. He's with Philly. Yep.
So the Clippers can't even escape that curse.
No.
Nope. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I don't know what the how those conference finals are. You want to see if the Knicks can respond at least and try to make it a series against Indiana. But it is looking like Indiana's cohesion as a team is just there. They are the better put-together team. The Knicks might have bigger names. Indiana has a better cohesion and better team and a bench that they can rotate in and out. I think the Knicks' problem is their depth. They have bigger names, but...
They can run seven guys,
They
maybe.
Can run seven guys at best.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Robinson can go nine comfortably.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson gives you nothing offensively. Josh Hart, they've had to bench at times for Mitchell Robinson defensively. Minnesota couldn't hit shots. I mean, they went ice. Julius Randle gave up on the series by the end of it. I mean, they were blown out last night. What, 124-94? I think was the final score. Yeah. So that was never a game. And then you go over to hockey. Carolina. Hey, man. Good on you. 2-0. Good on you. Oh, all right. It's 2-2. They scored in 30 seconds to make it 2-2.
And better yet, so Paul Maurice took a lot of the headlines yesterday with the whole thing of, like, I don't think the coaches should be in the handshake line, yada, yada, yada. And it skips over something egregious that Rob Brind'Amour said last night.
Yeah, we were talking about this walking in today.
So, quoted, it's the craziest thing that we're this far and all we're hearing is negativity from everybody. This summer, with the pieces that left this organization, I was like, I don't think we're making the playoffs, end quote. I'm sorry. Your job as a head coach is to try to get everybody, no matter what the roster is, to the playoffs. Do you remember how mad Sabres fans were about when Kyle Poso said, I don't think we got it, and like I knew it back in December?
Mm-hmm.
Your head coach said that after the Eastern Conference Finals.
To me,
I'm a Carolina fan,
yeah.
I have had enough. I'm done with Rob Brind'Amour. And I don't think that Rod Brind'Amour is a good coach at this point anymore. He is going to get you where he gets you. Congratulations, you're more popular Peter DeBoer.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And ready? Even DeBoer made a cup final.
I look at Carolina and even that quote too, it seems like...
It's garbage.
It seems like it's Brind'Amour trying to save face.
Yeah.
That like, hey guys, like, our expectations internally.
But he did this last year too.
We're not even get this far.
He did this last year too. He tried to gaslight everyone, saying, "Oh, well, based on how the games were played, it wasn't really a sweep." Yes, it was. You won zero games.
Oh, that's right. He also did say that.
Yeah.
Oh boy, wow. He is a nightmare when the series ends, isn't he?
Not only that, he is a nightmare when the teams that he has to face are good. Every time that the Carolina Hurricanes get this far, they embarrass themselves. And the star players that they tend to grow into or acquire, they leave. Mikko Rantanen shows up in Carolina, and he's bad. This is no longer an accident. It is the coach. He has been there too long for them to not break through at this point, but it's also to say those things in back-to-back series losses. I like what Joe DiBiase tweeted this morning about that. Imagine if Sean McDermott said any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Torches and pitchforks.
Yeah, and McDermott gets a lot of blame already. And I think he's been fairly good with the media.
He knows that he can take this heat.
Yeah, he has stepped in it a few times. He's been around a long enough time where math would tell you he's probably going to step in it a few times. But for the most part, he's given you the coach speak. He's never really given you a moment where you're like, what did he just say? Outside of one or two examples. Stephon Diggs, mandatory minicamp, is really the big one I can think of.
But that's mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, if he said something like they lost to the Chiefs again in the divisional round, this year, the AFC Championship game. And he went to the podium and said, well, I don't know, guys. I mean,
people didn't pick us to win in the division.
Yeah, internally, we
lost a lot of players in the wide receiver room. I didn't think we would get this far. Like, that's the equivalent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do that. I see Lindy Ruff take more responsibility for a Buffalo Sabres team that he just rejoined than Rob Brind'Amour for his playoff failures. Again, shame on me for wanting him last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is now a coach that I would never want to go near. And considering that we're rebuilding the 06 Hurricanes in the front office, I do have to legitimately worry about this if Carolina keeps him for one more year. Lindy's contract runs out, Brind'Amour gets fired next year, and the next thing you know, it's my personal hell.
I think for me, though, just with Carolina,
say goodbye to like Tage Thompson and any sort of offensive output, because no, we're going to go to like trying to win games 2-1. And the Sabres have proven we can't do that.
Yeah, I look at Carolina, but I look at a lot of teams around the NHL, and the Sabres are part of this too. It's complacency.
It is.
Carolina is ownership, the team, whatever, just thrilled to be there.
Complacency. Defined.
And they're not
pure.
I don't think they're going to move on from Rod Brind'Amour. They haven't before, and they've had some of these disastrous losses before. Look, the streak came out this year again where what did it end up ending at? 15 games in the Eastern Conference Finals they lost in a row. Why would they change now? Why? They're still competitive. Yep. Hey, Toronto might tear everything down. There's one team you don't have to worry about, maybe. We'll run it back.
Cool. The Metro is still so weak that Carolina is going to find their way back into this conversation, because speaking of gaslighting, Gary Bettman thinks this is a great playoff format. We get the early ratings and then everyone can check out. No. Gary, there's 8 rounds in the first round. There's 8 matchups. People will flock to the matchups that seem interesting. The 1-8 probably will not get attention unless it's a series. And if it's a series, that's a bonus. That means maybe, like, so like Jets Blues would have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
Jets Blues goes to 7. That would still get people watching. But you start to look at it and go, maybe your seeding format is bad, and you keep his logic on this at the general manager's meetings this past, like in 2025. He denounces the idea of changing the format, citing that first round matchups are created that are exciting, and that the best teams have to play each other eventually. So why not in the first round? Gary, what are we doing? How many times have I gone on about the playoff format over the last few weeks, Zach?
A few times.
More than I want to. That's the answer. More than I want to. And I'm doing it again here because I'm watching the Carolina Hurricanes get stomped. Edmonton has suddenly turned this series into a non-series against Dallas after losing game one. And I have to sit here and go, what are we doing? The Atlantic Division has represented the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup for 7 straight years now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you put it 1-8, we might get a good conference final, because over the last few years, it has not been.
No, it hasn't been a good conference final at all. I will say I still stand by it. I still think the Atlantic
mostly because
dominates.
Carolina Hurricanes keep showing up and not winning.
Well, but that's, I think the Atlantic still dominates. I think we just have better conference finals.
Yes, and so, that's the point. You want to keep, like you said, the playoffs are a grind. Sometimes people will check out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a reason to keep showing up. Best matchups later on means better hockey, means more people.
Yeah. But so looking at the change in the playoff format, 1-8. Scott Maxwell of the Daily Faceoff, he wrote an article. I know Jeremy White's retweeted it. We were both reading it this morning. He just went through it, both East and West. Here's what the first round matchups would have been, 1-8. One of the matchups in both conferences would have been our conference finals current matchups.
And the thing is that teams do play each other eventually, mm-hmm. like in a final. That is like, that's just what happened here. That's happenstance to me. But it is also both of those, they're 3-6 and 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that I have a division that is so staggeringly weak that is automatically getting a bid to the conference final. But yeah, no, the divisional playoffs, they still work.
It's frustrating because you're looking at what the first round could have been, and you'd still have good matchups.
You'd still have
your
some
current
great
Eastern Conference final would be a first round matchup. And you know what? If Carolina loses in the exact same way, which is what? They lost in 5? They mm-hmm. weren't swept. They lost in 5. Okay, it's a first round matchup. They lost in 5. They weren't one of the better teams. And you move on. But this is also something, too, where it's the same in basketball. The Western Conference is so obnoxiously better than the Eastern Conference, star-wise, team-building-wide, everything. It's the same in the NHL. Just you look at it now in divisions, where the Atlantic is so obnoxiously better than the Metropolitan. What are we doing here? I'll take this all the way back. This is why I can't stand the lottery. It doesn't reward bad teams. It just rewards a bunch of okay to good teams having a bad year, and they potentially get even more prospects, better talent.
I just, something about this where, also, how many times have we watched the first round of Edmonton and Los Angeles?
It's become yearly television.
And
their matchup has become a yearly occurrence.
And it's because, oh, you guys are both just guaranteed a spot as your second and third in your division. Yes, I know the one way to change that is other teams just do better. But why is it that we have to have 2 and 3 like this all the time? You don't.
You could change the format.
Have teams meet each other naturally in the playoffs mm-hmm. and create natural hatred. You are forcing hatred in the first round, and then you are witnessing in the conference finals.
Yeah, they just throw it in. They're like, all right, whatever. I mean, it's happening. We're gonna have we're gonna have a Stanley Cup final. My problem is ultimately you can change the format. It still is almost definitely going to end with the Atlantic dominates in the East, and it's the same where the Met will still struggle. They're still bad. We just maybe get rid of some of the bad teams like Carolina, not bad teams, but less than deserving teams like Carolina out much sooner. They're not in the Eastern Conference final, and we maybe have a better final, but I think we're still having ultimately the same conversation of, man, the Atlantic is really dominating. And man, the state of Florida really doing a good job in the East.
There's something to that as well, but like I don't know how much I want to go into detail about that, but like I look at a team like a Tampa or a Toronto, a top five finish in the National Hockey League this year. Tampa's gone in five games.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto has gone in round two. And oftentimes, it's not round two.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been like a top five caliber team in points throughout the regular season. And while some of this does speak to Toronto more than anything else, because at some point you just got to beat the Game 7 boogeyman.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's weird. Like last year, they locked themselves into a matchup with the Boston Bruins.
And you couldn't move. There was no way it was going to change. We've talked about that for years.
In game 81, they locked that in. And I think a lot of Leafs fans thought, we're dead in the water.
Yeah, it's over already. But we've talked about that for years with the playoff format where, I mean, a little less so the last two or three years. But for years, it was by January, you knew who the Eastern Conference playoffs were going to be.
Yeah.
You knew the matchups by January.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We should not know the matchups. We should not know an entire division's playoff matchups in January. It's embarrassing. And I think it needs to be better. And the fact that it's not, and here I am sitting talking about the playoff format again, it's getting really annoying. Because I know nothing's going to change because Gary Bettman he thinks everything's fine. But it needs to change. Then there's the whole like Florida teams making it, and I don't know how much of it I want to sink weight into. But I do know that there is a certain quote where he cooked, and it was a bad time to say it.
803-0550, the number to call, talking the Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs. Also talk a little bit of football as well. Former Bills wide receiver in the news just a little bit. We'll give our thoughts on that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
For me, it's really simple. You become a perennial playoff team, you make the playoffs, you have a chance to win Stanley Cup year after year, you are on less teams, no trade list. We don't have palm trees, we have taxes in New York, those are real, and those are things you deal with. I'm in conversations every day, and there's a lot of players in this league that were on their list, so we need to earn the respect, and it starts with getting over the hump, getting in the playoffs, competing.
The infamous quote, palm trees, taxes, from Kevin Adams. There's something interesting to this quote. He was spitting facts. He said it at a bad time. But I do feel like there was something factual there that needs to be revisited with the NHL. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I looked back at this quote because of the fact that the Florida Panthers convincingly, again, marched to the Stanley Cup Final. And the fact that the Florida teams, Tampa Bay and Florida, have now marched to six straight Stanley Cup final appearances. It is starting to not be an accident anymore as to where there is a little bit of an advantage. And I thought of the Kevin Adams quote for that. He was telling the truth on something. He should not have said it then. Because you were in the midst of a losing streak.
You maybe should never say it, especially when you're in the area that we're in.
No.
It's always going to be a touchy subject, whether it's right or wrong.
If the man has made the playoffs, I feel like he could absolutely fire that off the hip.
He could.
The thing is that he was in the middle of a losing streak when that happened. That was the worst time to throw that out there. He's right, though. He was vaguely attacking the seeming advantage that there is with the Florida teams right now. And that's fair to do. Again, not in that situation. That's why he got roasted for it. overall, the quote is a bad look. But I do find it interesting that there's a hidden piece in there of the truth. The NHL has a Florida problem.
Well, if you ask Gary, it's not much of a problem. I mean, the Arizona experiment failed, but Florida's flourishing.
Yeah, but the problem being, yeah, teams are doing this. Combine it with a couple of savvy GMs making strong moves, and you really have this staggering effect going on for the two teams. I don't know how much of a problem this is, but I do think it was interesting enough for me to at least come back with the segment on this, because we were talking about the playoffs with like the NHL playoff format and everything like that. Why is Florida so dominant? And there's something there of, oh yeah, I want to look back on a quote that did have some truth to it. I'm not going to cry sour grapes over it. Mm-hmm. GMs do need to be smarter overall, and in hockey, there are a lot of circumstances and a lot of instances that we could point to going, yeah, that's just bad general managing.
And we've talked about it off air that maybe some GMs who should be fired are starting to get more of a longer leash. Adams in Buffalo, obviously, we know all too well, but there are others that, man, you have not earned another year doing this.
Yzerman is really only going off of the career that he had in Detroit as to why he's still the general manager there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to wonder where things are going to go with Minnesota with Bill Guerin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is Don Sweeney with Boston. He got away with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that team came crashing and burning down. Chris Drury with the Rangers. Ask anyone in New York City that's a Rangers fan. They're upset that Chris Drury has gotten an extension.
Yeah.
Breer with Philadelphia might be in his final days. But I don't know. There's a lot that you could sell on the idea of, yeah, that Chuck Fletcher guy really put me in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as how NHL teams are trying to practice patience right now with general managers, it's not a bad idea.
I think half of it is they don't want to pay guys that aren't on their staffs anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's league-wide.
Shovel Day off with the Jets. He is a good GM. But at some point, when do you look at your playoff failures and go, we need to change things?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see. League-wide, the LA Kings are sick of losing the first round. They get rid of Blake.
Yeah, there are very clearly a few teams who are willing to change, adapt, willing to try different things. People will complain about Las Vegas till they're blue in the face. I love how they operate. I wish some of my favorite teams would operate like they do, which is, damn the Torpedoes, I don't care if you like me or not, I want to win. And I'm going to do everything I can to win. I'll bend the rules. I don't care.
My contempt of Vegas is, quite honestly, its social media presence and its fan base.
Their social media presence is phenomenal. Own the villain role, baby.
It's annoying. And also, you don't know real pain. None of you.
Yeah, because they refuse to do it.
I know, but
they tasted a little bit of success and went, we will never, we lost one, or we didn't make the playoffs in 1 year and decided to burn everything down. I'd love them. Florida had a 100-point score,
their fan base will be like, oh, we lost in the second round of the playoffs. This is the worst thing that's happened to me. And I'm just like, shut all the way up.
That's Boston fans for both of our entire lives.
Yeah. Like, still, it's one of those things where you're just like, shut up.
But
please do.
But
not talk.
But the thing, I don't care about their fans. Like, cool, good for them. Like, I wish more teams would operate with that kind of gusto to say, hey, we're in a sports league. We're trying to win things. Not like the Carolina Hurricanes, who are like, hey, we're an NHL team. We're making the playoffs. This is incredible.
We're here.
This is thrilling, guys.
Oh, I didn't know we were even going to make the playoffs this year. You are the coach. That is your job.
You know,
you should always be thinking you're making the playoffs.
And maybe this is a lot of
Sean McDermott tears the roster down in 2017. He doesn't care.
Yeah, maybe this is a lot on owners too, but like I look at the same with baseball, where you could argue there's like six teams in Major League Baseball that have more in common with AAA teams than they do Major League ball clubs that they're in the same league with.
To quote Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers, no excuses, play like a champion.
Come on.
So, like, for me I think the palm trees thing is right with the state taxes and everything like that. You've seen it.
It's interesting. It's not my whole case.
No, but there is something to it. But I also think for years, NHL franchises, a lot of them, including a lot of the Canadian ones, have been run poorly.
They get in their own way. Ottawa. Oh, my God, Ottawa.
Ottawa. And Canada also, I mean, that's like, there's historic precedence to that of guys wanting to leave to go to the United States. Look at what happened with Calgary. Mm-hmm. They had a very, very good team. Nobody wanted to stay. So, I mean, like, that's, and it was a bit of a fear.
It is, oddly enough, a pair of Americans that led that exodus.
Yeah.
And with Goudreau and Tkachuk.
And I know it was a fear for a little while with Edmonton and McDavid. It didn't seem like very long, but I know it was a little bit of a fear. But also, the Canadian teams operate very old school, and they don't change very much. And the teams that seem to have long-standing success do different things. They're not complacent. They're willing to risk it a bit.
As of a couple of years ago, though, the Canadian teams had the big four goofballs.
Mm-hmm.
Dorion with Ottawa. Bergevin with Montreal.
Love him.
Benning with Vancouver. And Chiarelli in Edmonton. At one point, all four of those general managers were in Canada. Terrifying stuff. Absolutely haunting. And to think all those men were running teams at the same time. Again, haunting stuff. Haunting. And you joke about, like, hey, maybe you could take advantage of one of those GMs, one of those wacky guys. None of them are running a team anymore. And you hate to see it.
I was going to say, some would say, thank goodness. Others, like me, would be like, I miss them.
I miss
them. Watching Chuck Fletcher also do things was exciting. You mentioned him in the first segment. Watching Chuck Fletcher do anything there was a thrill ride.
Right.
Now, if I was a Flyer fan, I would have very different words for him.
Ron Hextall in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Ron Hextall
in Pittsburgh. Disaster. Actually, oddly enough, Vancouver, though, Rutherford.
Mm.
Jim Rutherford has pretty much run his course, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And he's still there, and he's in Vancouver, and they are very much in a problem spot. And he mentions publicly, oh, yeah, Quinn Hughes might go to New Jersey to sign with his brothers in free agency. It's your job to keep him there.
It is uncomfortable.
Like, why are you saying that out loud?
But, like, talking about the NHL, honestly, like, it feels like a super broken league that is very much kept alive by exciting high-end talent.
Sometimes these GMs just consume an obscene amount of pixie sticks, and it is on. The fact that the salary cap is going up and a player like Mitch Marner is available in free agency, I cannot wait for the overly bloated contract that Brock Besser gets because a team did not land Marner.
I mean, you mentioned it when talking about Marner that, like, teams they'll have the money and have the itch to spend.
I look at 2017, yeah. And I know that general managers, when they see a cap increase like this, the eyes get wide. You drank from the wrong punch bowl. We're going to have ourselves a night.
Maybe there's
one of the kids at home coming spiked the punch bowl.
Yeah.
You drank from that one, and you're in charge of the Vancouver Canucks.
That's a good time. But maybe it is like the sports like basketball and hockey, where, like, football, definitively, one guy will not change an organization that is not a quarterback. Quarterbacks, I think, can absolutely change the
roster. Rosters are too big, 53.
They're too big, right, and there's too many positions. You have to fill out everybody.
Right.
Where, like, the NBA, the Knicks traded, what, like, 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges? Yep. If anyone did that in the NFL for anybody, any position, they are laughed out of a room. The NBA, it's fine.
Even when they pay 3, it is seen as, oh, you're just swinging.
Yeah. And hockey,
Jacksonville going up for
Jacksonville,
3 spots for Travis Hunter. They have to give a first-round pick to do it. And people see that as, that's a message. Jacksonville is not playing around. Mm-hmm. This new general manager is trying to make his legacy, make his mark right away.
Yep.
And Cleveland, this is too good of an offer to pass up at that point if you're not taking Hunter for some strange reason. The Jared Goff trade, both times, when he is selected and when he is dealt.
Yep.
Jared Goff nabs you multiple first-round picks. And that is seen as, what is it seen as for LA when they acquire Stafford and Goff and several firsts are sent along?
They're making the move.
They're making the move. And they gave up a younger quarterback and two first round picks to see if Matthew Stafford could get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And that is seen as an important move, a job defining move. It works, but it is still seen as, oh boy, this is the opportunity.
But like that's the thing. Like the,
and if it doesn't work,
those are the big moves in football. There are some like historically bad ones. I mean, you'll always have like a running back or a wide receiver that is wholly overpaid, and everyone's like, and immediately it's like that's not going to work.
Ryan Grigson where, trading a first for Trent Richardson.
Where hockey almost feels like it's in like it's in the middle of the NHL or in the NFL and the NBA in terms of how GMs operate. Where like the NBA is trade happy and they're willing to trade every asset. Who cares about the draft? Doesn't matter. The NHL, a lot about caring about the draft. Don't really move top 10 picks all that much. But like you mentioned, but when GMs get money to spend, when the salary cap goes up, look at Nashville last year. How much money they spent in free agency.
How much money they put in free agency and how bad that team ended up being.
How much money do we think per year Mitch Marner's going to get? Probably $14 million per year?
I'm thinking 15.
And you think 15. And that doesn't surprise me at all.
We're hearing whispers that Sam Bennett might get 10.
Oh yeah. So if that happens, 15 is a safe number for Marner. It probably could go
higher.
If
Bennett gets $10 million on more than 5 years, that is a disaster contract in the waiting.
And so,
and it's not,
who actually?
It's not for the beginning impact, obviously. Like Bennett would be a good player for you, but even at $10 million, he doesn't offer a game that gets you that.
Mm-hmm.
But like year four, year five of those contracts with a physical style, he will wear himself down to a point where, yeah, this is not a good idea. This was a bad contract. We are in hell.
But my thing look at Minnesota for years with bad free agent signings, literally
all because
crippled
of one
their
day.
Organization. Yeah, one day. Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, and that has been the legacy of the Minnesota Wild for like 12 years now. One day. And so I even look at Mitch Marner. I know there's some excitement around him because we've talked about it, what he could be. I also sit here and go, is that even remotely a smart idea to pay him $15 million? Purely off of what else you can build around the roster.
What else you can build around the roster. And I do think that a skill-based game will obviously favor you in a longer-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
Marner does not have physicality. He will not be worn down like that. He does play a skill-based game, a speed-based game, and physical attributes are the first thing to die in hockey, always. It's why Montreal handing a massive amount of money in free agency to Jeff Petrie was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Petrie, it was Carl Alsner.
Mm.
Alsner's in the AHL within 3 years on that contract. And again, they see the shiny gem. And like every goblin ever, they go running and screaming, tackling each other to try to get the shiny gem.
803-0550, the number to call. Ryan, we'll get to you first if you hang on. But before we hit our next time out, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, we'll be right back. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick segment here as we wrap up hour number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we go to the phones. We can get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. First up today, Ryan is on the line. Ryan, good morning. How are we doing today?
Mac, Derek, love the show.
Thank you, thank you.
I just want to make a comment on why not the Sabres go after Ben Shanahan. I believe he's the one who drafted Mitch Marner. And maybe, you know what? Hey, maybe he could influence Marner to come to a Buffalo. My thoughts.
Okay, so, Ryan, I'm smelling what you're cooking. And I'm intrigued because of the fact that you are playing into my dream of getting Mitch Marner to Buffalo. I appreciate that. Because you're playing into it, yeah, I am going to follow the smell. That said, I don't know how much I would want Brendan Shanahan here if Brendan Shanahan is just going to bring the Toronto Maple Leafs to you. Yes, I know the whole hour ordeal. I'd rather be anyone but what the current Buffalo Sabres playoff drought is. But I also know that constantly being a plateau team, like a Toronto or a Carolina Hurricanes, for example, would figuratively drive me crazy. Maybe actually drive me crazy. Considering that I'm annoyed by those two teams, and I'm not a fan of them. As a matter of fact, with one of them, I'm a bigger hater than the other that I should be the bigger hater for.
Mm-hmm.
And those two teams are driving me up a wall, even though I hate them. Toronto had become a little bit of this, like, okay, please let me tell a different story. Carolina is sounding like a different thing of, like, quite literally happy to be here. To a point where there's an arrogance to it that even Toronto would love to see. Of making the conference finals. Like, yeah, the cup drought's still there and all that, but, like,
mm-hmm.
winning a second round in the playoffs would be huge. And Carolina whole hum gets to be there and go, yeah, we didn't get swept last year. Yeah, you did. I didn't know we were even going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah, you did.
That's tough, man. That's really, it's a hell of a quote.
Yeah. Like, oh, boy. Shame on me for wanting Brendan Moore last year. Shame on me. Anyway, back to that call, though, of I'm still here for any and all ideas to strengthen the case of getting Mitch Marner to Buffalo. 1,000%. I will always be here for that. I don't know if Brendan Shanahan, though, does help. I think Mitch Marner goes, that's a Toronto ghost, and I don't want that.
That was my thought looking at the call screen and just being like, I think Marner wants to get as far away from Toronto as possible. If Shanahan all of a sudden goes to Buffalo and goes, hey, bud, do you want to cut? I think he'd be like, absolutely not. I already don't think he'll be that into Buffalo.
Yeah, because it's not far away enough.
But I think the idea of Shanahan being a good recruitment tool, I think is more of a hope. He was there for Marner's entire career. He was hired as the president of
hockey ops. I feel like something's there.
And the president or whatever his exact role was.
I feel like there's something there to it, though. There is some credence to it.
Alternate governor.
Because why do they keep holding on to the core four? Ultimately, that's up to Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a belief there, probably. I don't know if Shanahan believes in Marner anymore because he's no longer in Toronto because his idea didn't work. And if he does think, hey, I want to create Toronto and Buffalo, that means you didn't learn a lesson.
Yeah, and that's troubling too, especially when, yes, just want to end the drought, but also, ooh, I don't want to be knowingly walking into a bad situation.
Overall, I call it a C-plus idea. Not terrible, but you know what? There are things to be argued against it.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts, talking Mitch Marner as well. We haven't touched on the Stephon Diggs story. We can definitely do that on the way back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on... It's a fine day. It's a fine Thursday. It's fine.
It's just a little... It's brighter gray.
Brighter gray.
I see it outside. It's like a brighter gray.
I know the sun wants to peek through.
It's just being blocked.
It's all right. It's okay.
But it's like... There's remnants of, like, maybe the rain from earlier in the week, but, like...
We're getting through it.
Yeah.
We're getting through it.
It's a cloudy day. But not a bad day.
I want to go back to Ryan's call there, because we've been talking about the break now for the last two breaks. The idea of Brendan Shanahan. Now, where Ryan brought it up was hire him as the recruiting tool for Mitch Marner. I think there's a good chance that one of, if not both of them, do not want the reunion. I think there's a very real chance that one of, if not both, are like, clean breakup, probably the best.
And that's for both parties. I think that Marner on a standalone idea without Shanahan is, of course, the idea that I'm trying to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Sabres were, for example, to hire Brendan Shanahan and get lucky enough to do that, that would be incredible. Because the guy does know how to build a team that can make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I also think he would learn lessons of, why am I not in Toronto? Here's why.
I will also say, I don't think I've said this on there yet.
I also know, based on the Sabres front office structure, if Shanahan's out of hockey for a year and he takes a sabbatical,
might be for the best.
That's the only way you get Brendan Shanahan.
Yes. Which he may. Toronto, all we hear about is how stressful of a job that is. There is a very real chance he goes, you know what? I'm going to kick my feet up. The Hawaiian Irons are great. Lilo and Stitch just came out. I got a great preview of it. I'm going to go hang out for a bit. I'll keep touching the game.
I'll stop at UC Davis and, you know, we'll have a day.
I'll be back in 12 months. I'll see you when I see you. So, I don't know. But for me, like, I do look at Shanahan, and I think I was saying this in the break. I don't think I've said this on air. It's funny, because we just went through the 1-8 playoff structure and how much of an interesting idea that would be. I think the Maple Leafs did nearly as much as they could right to build a winner, but they maybe more than anybody.
The broken playoff format, it really has affected the Leafs, I think, more than anyone.
And they got to a point, too, because they were playing the Bostons early, the Tampa Dynasty early. And then they had the real, oh, God, what is this? Columbus, Montreal. Like,
by the time we got to the Columbus series, they were already broken.
They were already broken. I do wonder if they had to play a bad Metropolitan team in round one during the early years of this core and beat them in round one, got through that bugaboo.
It's Columbus that broke them, oddly enough.
Oh, yeah.
It's the non-division opponent.
Yes.
The bad Metropolitan team.
But that's already years in the making.
But that was also the perfect time to face a bad Metro team, or the worst time, I would say, actually. Because that's the team that lost to a backup Zamboni driver. That's the team that they were a lot of things broken that year. They were not as good as they could have been. They did not maximize their talent. They were actually in real danger if it was a real playoff format that year in 2020. They would have been flirting with disaster that year.
Mm-hmm.
So that really would have been, honestly, they probably would have ended up through the Metro route in the playoffs, maybe break through a little bit, oddly enough, with the most broken team that they had.
But that's also, that's near the end of this run of like, okay, this has become sad. Like, we're all laughing, but it's also kind of
tragic. But 2021, they fix their defensive core. They get Tyson Barrie. He's great for them at that point. And it makes a lot of sense. They make a lot of good moves. But by then, the core is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the playoff format really did do a lot of damage to the likes of Toronto. And I do think that they are probably the biggest victims of this whole thing. Of this divisional matchup thing.
I look at the team that Shanahan and Kyle Dubas, like the one they were able to put on the ice, probably should have won a playoff series or two multiple times. They just would run into the better versions of the Atlantic. You know, Tampa having the clear edge in goalie and really being able to squeeze those
series to
death.
The teams fighting for 1-2, for example, in the Atlantic, or you're fighting for 2-3 with the team right behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this whole Bettman thing of the idea of, oh, the best teams have to play each other eventually, so why not in the first round? Oddly enough, you're killing your biggest hockey market with that ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year they are thrown into a meat grinder right away.
Yep.
And a team that is happy-go-lucky, that kind of has no business being in a conference final, for example, gets through two playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your surprises come in. Because ever since they made this change, 2018, remember that's the last time I said that the Metropolitan Division made a Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
And broke through the conference. It was Washington.
On a miracle run.
Ever since then, it has been the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, it has not really looked all that great in conference finals play. 2018 is when the Leafs core began.
I mean, they would be right there to dominate.
They'd be
bad Met teams.
They'd be right there to win first round playoff series.
Well, but like honestly, like what really killed that core? It was the fact that you'd have these unbelievable regular seasons, and then they'd get to the first round, and you mentioned it'd be like against a team like Boston or Tampa, and you'd be like, "Oh my God, like this is ridiculous." And it did get to a point. Sports are a lot of mentality and the mental aspect of the game.
It's still played by human beings.
Yeah, and you got to imagine for some of these guys, and this is more like the perfect case scenario for Toronto, that's sort of the picture I'm painting. Does Matthews ever close up and become kind of a bad playoff performer if early in his career he was able to put on really good first-round series because he's playing worse competition? And he's able to get into a bit of a groove,
it's the meat grinder right away.
Yeah, he's able to find his sea legs a little bit. Same with Marner, Nylander, Tavar. They're able to get it going rather than, okay, we knew it was going to be Tampa for 3 months. Let's ride. They've got a clear edge in goalie. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. And we already are going through some of these pains where we're not getting through first rounds. It is the Toronto market. I'll play into that. Why not? Marner's 28. I think if that's a thing that's happening, we're not even discussing Marner hitting free agency.
No.
Because I think that becomes very healthy. Look at the Knicks. Let's look at another difficult market to win in. New York with the Knicks. Toronto hasn't been to a Stanley Cup final in how long, Derek? It's been a while. You've mentioned it a few times. When the playoff series got wider, they haven't won two playoff series.
Yeah. In their entire history, they have not won three.
The Knicks haven't won a title since the 1970s. They haven't been to a NBA final since the late 90s, early 2000s. So what if Toronto is just every year going on these deep runs, winning a playoff series or two, going to the Eastern Conference Finals? And you know what? If they got their sea legs, maybe they do make a Stanley Cup final. It changes drastically how that entire team perceives itself, how the city embraces them. And so for me, like I do look at someone like Brendan Shanahan. I agree with you. I think it's going to have to be something where he takes a sabbatical for a year.
That's the only way you can get him based on the front office's structure.
Or if, and I mean this is like a 1%, maybe even less chance, there's a quote-unquote promotion inside the Sabres and Adams goes to maybe president of hockey ops and they bring in Shanahan to be GM. Or they do nix on what they wanted to do and go, well, you know what, actually, Adams, you are going to have somebody ahead of you. And he'll take the exact same role he had in Toronto and be president.
And those percentages are lower than Shanahan taking a sabbatical for a year.
Yep.
And seeing if the Sabres crash out or not. And if the Sabres don't crash out, you don't need Brendan Shanahan here. And that's awesome.
Right.
That's
great. Absolutely.
It's awesome. Cool. This really should feel like make or break for Kevin Adams. And I don't know if that's actually the real thing. Because I felt like last year was the make or break. And it's not break. And he did not make.
Yeah, he did not make.
It was neither. I don't know necessarily how you fix that, but the fallout from Toronto that we all thought could have happened after 2020 when they lost to or 2021 when they lost to Montreal in the All-Canada division. That was the one where you're like, how did they keep it all together? Why did they keep it all together? There's got to be reasons.
That was more the question is why did they keep it all together?
Why? And I think the answer was, well, we find ourselves a strong position to get into a playoff game. It's just you got to get over the hump. And then a couple of years later, they do get over that hump, but then are quickly put away by Florida.
Yeah, and now it's less become the first round bugaboo and whatever. It literally is just game sevens.
It is game sevens
now. It is game sevens.
0-7 with the group.
Yeah, I mean, like that's home, what it's become,
TD
too.
Garden was ultimately the first bogeyman.
That's where it started.
It all started in TD Garden. But now it has become,
Game seven in general.
This group in game seven is bad.
And you wonder if that mentality maybe changes.
Probably. Or it's enough series that don't make it to game sevens that they're able to close out.
Yeah.
Like, look at Ottawa this year.
I'm telling you how you make your best market more marketable.
And ready?
Come on.
Even Americans will watch the Toronto Maple Leafs to hate them.
If you're an NHL fan, they're the Yankees to you.
Yes.
With less success. But if you're an NHL fan, it doesn't matter. Like in America, Canada, whatever, they're the Yankees to you.
We will, in the playoffs, I'll tell you right now, we here in Buffalo, we will hate watch the Toronto Maple Leafs through the postseason. Mostly to see them fall. When that happens in round one every year, or almost every year, it takes away a lot of the joy of hate watching.
Yeah,
your job is done.
You know, I like
job's done already, guys.
I like,
go home.
I like watching The Godfather. I'm not going to watch it every day though. Like the story gets bland. I want to let some time to marinate. It's the same with Toronto. We mentioned it. We kind of were rooting for Toronto this year,
Gary,
because it was like I want to see a different story. It just didn't happen.
Gary, fix your stuff.
803-0550, the number two call. Next up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is Bruce on the line. Bruce, how are we doing today?
I'm okay, guys. How are you today?
Doing well.
All right. I cannot be more polar opposite in regards to Mitch Marner than you guys are. Who would you rather have on your team, a Barkov or a Marner?
What's available?
It doesn't matter.
That does matter. Florida's not getting rid of Barkov. Marner is available. Those don't happen very often.
Have you seen a picture of him in the last playoff series with his helmet off? There's not a drop of sweat. His hair is dry. I don't want a wimp on him. Have you watched the NHL playoffs?
I have.
Have you seen it? It's tough. There's more interference calls where the puck is gone and people are flying around. You want to spend $15 million on him? Really?
Only because of the fact that he's available.
You're going to have to overpay to get him here.
Bruce, let me counter with this. The real question you should have been asking me is this. Not Barkov, Bennett, because Bennett is available.
Then give me Bennett. I'll take Bennett all day.
I'm with Bruce on that.
Yeah, just make sure you're asking the right question is all I'm going to say to you on that one. I appreciate the... I appreciate that. Oh, whoa. I'm trying to help you out with your argument, man. That's all I'm doing.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Whatever, Bruce.
Don't give me a player that's not available to a player that is available.
Don't give me an unrealistic option. Bruce, hey, let's trade Leonis McKelvin for Drew Brees.
Bruce, I was with you. I would rather have Bennett than Marner. Bennett's available. Marner's available. Barkov is not.
Barkov's not available. He will not be available. That's simple as that. I'm talking about Mitch Marner because there is something founded in realism about that. Something founded in reality. If you said Sam Bennett, I have a lot harder time answering that question. I really do.
Well, I didn't. I'm Bennett.
But don't belittle me.
Well, I mean, he likes Barkov.
Who doesn't?
He clearly likes Barkov.
Who doesn't? Sasha Barkov cannot be had. I would love Connor McDavid on this team.
Is Barkov the most important player on Florida? Forwards, I mean, if we're just looking at them.
Yes and no. I think that Barkov is the silent leader who gets everything done, and he's one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League. But it is very clear that Matthew Tkachuk is their emotional leader and their emotional intelligence within the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Barkov plays his role perfectly, though. He is the leader, but he knows he's not the face of the leadership
right
now. It's perfect. And it plays to his style. Let's get the work done, guys. I don't have to be the loud rah-rah type. I can be the captain that leads you guys through example, and that's how I play my game. Tkachuk can be the guy that everyone talks to. And it's perfect. The setup is perfect. But Bennett, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the counter and the antithesis, really, for a free agent option that's available that's not Mitch Marner. It's Sam Bennett. He really is the antithesis of Mitch Marner. Physical guy, toes the line a good amount.
Isn't really going to light up the stat sheet.
Never really lights up the stat sheet, but is a player in the playoffs that people will flock to. The issue that's showing up right now all of a sudden is, and I don't know if this is just an agent trying to light the world on fire, reports of teams being interested in him in $10 million per year.
That's not surprising, though, when you go off of the salary cap, the cup tax.
The amount of money available.
And like you said, he is a guy players will flock to, playoff hockey. Now, he's that guy. Now, ultimately, it's $10 million, not $15 million, because, well, you're not going to do a... quote-unquote, a ton for us in the regular season. You will not be a 100-point guy. He's had two 25-plus goal-scoring seasons in his career. This year, and then I think 3 years ago, he had 28 goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been around that same number in assists. I like Bennett, but that's my thing, too. I mean, like even to the caller's point, too, like you're going to overpay for Martin. You're going to overpay for almost everybody.
You're going to overpay for everyone. And now comes the question. Ready? Say it's not 10. Say it's 9. Sam Bennett at 9 years, but is it a 9x7?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a 9x5?
Yeah.
Mitch Marner, is it a 15x7? Is it a 14x7? Is it 14x5? Because he's taken short contracts before already.
Mm-hmm.
Though this is the massive payday for both of them, you're never going to get another one. You're probably looking at 7 years for these guys.
Yeah, you're looking at the big contract.
They're looking at the big contract, and it's going to be the seven-year deal for probably either of them. And, like, Marner has gotten big contracts already, like, on the per-year basis. But I do think that he's going to go for the seven just because you're going to get your maximum amount of money mm-hmm. at that point. He's 28 hitting free agency.
Yeah.
And it's the same for Bennett in that sense of that. Teams may be more weary on giving Bennett the seven-year contract. If I'm able to get him for a five-year deal, for example, $9 and $10 million is stomachable, but physical attributes die faster. That's just how the human body works. And if he's bashing his body through there, eventually that wall's going to hit.
Well, I mkaen, you look at another Florida guy, Matthew Tkachuk. You wonder, I mean, he has the skill. That's the key there. But you do wonder how long his window of being the elite player is because he does throw his body out there. He is that tough power forward on the ice.
Yeah, and really, the last thing about that is with how physical he is, year five, year six, year seven, how much of an albatross does that contract then become?
Mm-hmm.
If it's especially at a $9 or $10 million cap hit and he's playing fourth line minutes for you now because he is diminished as a physical skater.
Yeah.
Marner has a skill set that he will not end up playing in a bottom six on a team through a seven-year contract. So it is a longer-term investment for your top six. There's your reasoning why you would do that for Marner for 7 years versus Bennett for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is shown that when you play in the game of hockey and you throw your body around, you have a shorter shelf life. That is reality. And that's why the idea is there. Because there's no way Mitch Marner's game... There are 31 other NHL teams right now that want Mitch Marner. The one that doesn't is the team that just keeps failing in the playoffs with him. And I don't know at this point if it is more of a Toronto problem.
That's a fair question to ask because there is a certain point of you're too good of a player to be, quote unquote, this bad in the playoffs.
And the media and landscape
maybe it
would
is
be,
just the Toronto, the vibe. We've talked about it. They were broken years ago.
And you know what's kind of funny? Like I saw like some of the things of like, I don't know how it ended up happening, but like after Toronto was eliminated, it was like, oh man, the fans make it too tough there. No. You're pointing the finger at the wrong set of people. It's the media, which does come from fan pressure, of course. They do ask, you know, the media's job is to help kind of connect the fan base to the team.
You know there's a fan out there in Toronto that does not think the media asks tough enough questions.
Yes, and in Toronto. Yeah, okay. And you're right. But the thing is that the media can be brutal in Toronto, more brutal than, for example, here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, are things nightmarish? Yes. Are we as tough as Toronto is with it? No. Mostly because half the fan base right now is dead inside.
Woo!
But again, if Sam Bennett, for example, is the available player, Bennett is going to get an overpay from the teams that don't get Mitch Marner. Besser might be one of those players that gets an overpayment because mm-hmm. of that. And Brock Besser would be a very enticing idea if not for the fact that it's a redundant good. The difference between a Mitch Marner and a Brock Besser is top-line forwards do not come available in free agency that often.
They just don't.
Middle sixers or top sixers, like a Bennett or a Besser,
mm-hmm.
they come available all the time. Does the contract hurt a franchise or not? Sometimes depends on the player.
Yeah. On Bennett, though, I mean, this is what's going to get him paid. In just the last three playoffs, I brought up Barkov, Tkachuk, Bennett.
Right.
Look at Barkov in these last three playoffs. 21 games played in 22-23, 16 points. 23-24, 24 games played, 22 points. 24, 25, 17 right now. He's at 17 points. Kachuk, about the same amount of games, 24, 22, 16 points. Bennett then, 22, 23, 20 games played, 15 points. Last year, 19 games played, 14. This year, 17, 16 points. He is a guy who, the regular season, maybe not so much, the playoffs, he's right around your two best forward, or two of your best forwards.
And I think that has to do with usage as well.
Sure, yep.
In the regular season, he is going to float around the lineup a little bit. In the postseason, he is being put with players to succeed, and like you're not moving your lines. In the regular season, through 82 games, how often does a line stay together through the entire year, start to finish?
Yeah, it's not very
likely. Injuries happen. You got to move up and down the lineup where you're needed.
I will also say, too,
in the playoffs, you better be having wrist surgery like Zach Hyman to be missing a game.
Mm-hmm. I will also say this, too, because I didn't put him there, and that's my bad, but Reinhardt. He's putting up equal to or better stats than Reinhardt, just in terms of points. 13, 16, and currently 13.
Really? Hmm. And again, that has to do with the balance of that team as well.
Yeah, but
Toronto
team,
does,
yes, but
oddly enough, Toronto does not have that balance. They require the top four players on that team to be the guys,
yeah.
And if they don't show up, the team struggles.
Yeah, but this is why I like Bennett. I do think if the Sabres were able to convince him to come here and they didn't have to seriously overpay for him, yes, you're probably right. His style of play is not long-lasting. But I think this current young group, he could bring a different energy to them, and it won't be one of those things of, I'm just happy to be here in the playoffs. He's shown he performs to his peers on his own team who are regularly season-wise significantly better than him in points.
Right.
He produces with them.
Yeah. And that's where there is this little bit of an idea of cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
If the Sabres, for example, were to land a player like Mitch Marner, they have depth throughout the lineup to score. Right now, goaltending every other year has been an issue.
Yeah.
And that is where it seems like it's an interesting idea. I'm talking about a low percentage. Let's not make this anything more than it's not. It's an idea that has a non-zero chance of happening.
Because they are in free agency and the Sabres can technically spend money.
Yes. All it costs is money right now. That's all this is. That's why Sam Bennett should be the one mentioned here. Because all it costs right now is money.
803-0550, the number to call. We have your tickets to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card for just one low price of $129. Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole and golf course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rixerx Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. Portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. This is WGR. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Woo!
A little spicy meatball the last segment there, but you know, we keep talking about it. Why? Because that's what we like to do. Bash our heads against the metaphorical wall.
Just hope the Sabres do anything. That's really
just
all we're
here. Just hope the Sabres do anything. And you know what? Why not kick it over to Stan in Lockport here as we get connected with our fans once again. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Stan Lockport, how you doing? Welcome to the Extra Point Show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've been seeing on the internet where they're talking about possibly trading Paterka. And I go to between Paterka and Byram. I could think of a half a dozen other guys that I would trade and draft and give the draft picks to somebody to get a deal done. Because I don't see those two guys leaving. I could think of, like I said, six other guys that I would trade. What are your thoughts?
So, Stan, I appreciate the call. And trading J.J. Paterka is relatively high up on my fears list right now this offseason. I don't want them to do it. And there's only one and only one stipulation to that that would allow me to change my mind, and that is if the Sabres sign Mitch Marner. You get a top-line replacement for your top-line winger. Done. That's the only reason I would accept this idea of trading J.J. Paterka. I don't want them to do that. He is a top-six fixture on this team.
And he is a young player, fast player. The Sabres want to play fast. You keep JJ.
He is also.
Is he good defensively? No.
But offensively, his numbers have steadily gone up every year on the Sabres. 32 points, 50 points, 68 points this year.
And is he good on the power play? Not really. So he, I guess, like, it's kind of the problem, but also, is the power play system the real problem here?
Yes.
Yes. Sabres Live's coming up at noon. Like, in other news, like, yes, the power play system is kind of the problem here. Can Peterka make better decisions on the power play? Probably. But until they change up their philosophy and not really have to rely on the umbrella style and it not moving a whole heck of a lot, the Sabres are going to have a power play problem until they move on from that. Peterka, I am very uncomfortable with the idea of trading him. Byram, there's a lot of uncertainty, it looks like, right now with his contract status. I mean, he and Peterka both RFAs. There is a scenario where I would hate to see this, but I would, as a hockey fan, love to see it. If one of these two guys gets poached on an offer sheet, first of all, it would be our luck that we want offer sheets to be a thing, and then it's Buffalo that gets smacked around.
I was about
with
to
it.
Say it. I'm like, you really think we're gonna get burned by an offer sheet? Come on, we yes. just talked about how NHL teams live in the dark ages.
No, ready? Yes,
but it would be
because
our
that's
luck.
Exactly how it would work.
It is absolutely our luck of like a team's like, you know what? It's an interesting loophole that you know Vegas. I'm also surprised.
Or
don't
it's
do
the
it
hockey
more.
God saying, oh, you want this? Here you go. Wait, not me.
Not me. Wait a second. Wait.
You're John Barenthal in the butcher. Wait.
No.
So, yeah, that would be a nightmare scenario. But it's also because the Sabres have two of the most attractive RFAs this year, outside of Matthew Nyes.
I like Matthew Nyes a lot, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. But the idea of that. So, he also mentions trading the ninth overall pick. The ninth overall pick is a sweetener. If you need to pair something, like watching the AHL playoffs, Isaac Rosane will not alone get you a quality player. Isaac Rosane in the ninth overall pick probably will, for example, if you need to trade a prospect. Noah Osland felt like he disappeared against Laval entirely. If you trade Noah Osland, the ninth overall pick is going to be a sweetener to upgrade your acquisition of what kind of player can you get. Oh, I'm also going to give you the ninth overall pick. Oddly enough, I'm going to say something kind of controversial here. I'm perfectly happy with keeping ninth overall because the Sabres have a good draft record right now in the first round with Kevin Adams.
I enjoyed
Zach
it.
Benson, for where he was selected, is giving you considerable amount of value for his draft position. Jack Quinn, until his injuries, was starting to present the same thing. J.J. Peterka as a second-round pick was like the first big second-round pick hit that they've had since, I don't know,
forever.
Jake McCabe?
Yeah.
And I hate that that's true.
Yeah, that's probably about
right. It's really depressing, as a matter of fact. Especially when Tim Murray had three picks in a second round of a draft and he whiffed on all three of them, infamously, starting with Brendan, I don't want to play here, Lemieux.
Which is just a real shame.
I respect that he said bet, but then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, it actually, like, he was serious about that. Oh, okay. Thanks for using the pick on that, Tim.
I'm pretty sure, like, every player that does it is always, really serious about it. Like, that's the thing. Like, don't play chicken. They are dead serious.
Caleb Williams is the first time I've seen it in years where, like, they're not actually serious. Or, like, it's okay, fine. You are going to draft me? Fine. We'll deal with this.
Well, because that's the thing. He didn't openly say anything.
He didn't openly say it, though. Yeah.
He talked to the media yesterday, and he's like, I'm going to squash this.
Anyone that publicly says, I'm not playing here, they don't play here.
They're dead serious.
They're serious. Like, they don't play with the team that they're saying they don't want to play for. Take them for their word on that. Thank you. You're welcome. But again, I don't mind the ninth overall pick because the Sabres do have a draft record that is solid. Kostas Hellenius probably looks like the next guy up now. I think he's vaulted Rosane and Osland in Rochester for the next Sabre up.
You just hope there's continued development there.
And again, Hellenius is in the double digits on his draft pick.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good thing to have. It's a good problem to have where your general manager actually can draft halfway decent players in the first round at minimum. It's a good problem to have. That said, if you can use ninth overall to sweeten it,
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. Do it. If they don't fret.
For more on the 9th overall pick, I believe Jay has some thoughts on this. Jay, you're on WGR. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, guys. Good morning. Good morning. First of all, you can't draft a player with that pick. Rochester has enough talent, number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to change the culture of this team, you can't keep taking players from Rochester that you develop and putting them on the bottom two lines. You have to move players that are good players. These GMs, these presidents of other teams know the tendencies, the analytics of all the players. That's why they're the GMs. Guys like Peterka, you're going to have to move if you want to get better players in here. You are not going to be able to sign free agents, and you're not going to be able to trade for anyone because how many players have already vetoed their trades to Buffalo? We'll just go with Tkachuk just off the top of the head. Mm-hmm. He could have came here when he was with Calgary. They're not coming here. So what you have to do is you have to say, okay, yes, this guy is a top six forward. Yes, he is improved every year. I have to move him with a pick to another team to get a better player. Bo Byram is not signing here long term. He's got to go. It's simple, dollars in, dollars out. He's not going to be a top two defenseman. He's not going to get the power play time. The writing's on the wall. So you can't be afraid to swing and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And these players that we keep drafting, we're not trying to get Rochester to the playoffs. We're trying to get Buffalo to the playoffs.
Yes.
Rochester's been to the playoffs. The goal is to get to the playoffs here, and the bar is so low, I keep tripping on it.
Jay, thanks for the call, man. I agree with all of that. I am so prospect out. It may not even be the right decision. But where I'm at mentally, I'm with Jay. I got to make moves to get players in now. Peterka's somebody I don't want to see go, but I also have somewhat confidence in the idea that because he has improved as he has gone, if they trade him, it's probably not for peanuts.
Oh yeah, no.
It's probably for a really good guy that'll come right in, whether it be top four defenseman or Byram. And so, like, I'm with Jay, too, and this has been my problem with the NHL for years. No one seems willing to take risks. Florida took a risk in getting Tkachuk. They had to trade a lot, one of which was a 100-point player for them. They were regularly making the playoffs. They were not succeeding in the playoffs, but they were regularly there. They make a move, and now look at them. It's three straight Stanley Cup finals. Vegas regularly is willing to take risks, even to the point where NHL fans hate them because they bend the rules.
Yes.
With, you know, LTIR, with Mark Stone lives there, okay? His mail is sent to LTIR. But I wish more teams would do that, and I kind of want the Sabres to do it because you do have a ton of talent in Rochester. It might be to a point now with some of these guys, you're going to have to sell high because this is the best the stock's going to get. Maybe Ostlund, Isak, Roseanne. But what about a guy like Konstantelenius? You just mentioned he maybe jumped these guys. Does he maybe now become, hey, if we're going to get rid of somebody, him?
No, you don't want to trade the best one at that point. If you're going to look at the second wave of prospects, you want to try to trade someone that another team is sold on while you hold on to the one you value the most. I will say one thing. Rochester has a lot of talent at forward.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, so you're not
at ninth overall. So at ninth overall, it's not keep the pick.
Yeah,
it is. If they don't end up trading it, it's not the end of the world. That's the point I'm making about the drafting of them.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't use it as a sweetener, which Jay, you're absolutely right. They should use that pick as a sweetener, and everyone that says it, use it as a sweetener. It is also not the end of the world if they do not use it as a sweetener. I think Adams needs to have a busy offseason. There should be more than enough pressure that he needs to make a move that is not desperate, but definitely something where you say actionable at the very least, take a chance. Not taking a chance has landed you in your 6 years tenure.
Yep.
Nowhere. It has gotten you nowhere. You need to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many of these do you get? How many more grace years are you going to get out of this? Especially because if through that meeting it's reported that they're looking for an advisor to you, that already means that they're looking at a babysitter. That means you're on thinner ice than usual.
That also, depending on how you look at it, because you could look at it the most negative
not
way.
Not babysitter, but like, you know what I mean.
Well, it's, for me, if you want to look at it the most negative, they're hiring your heir apparent.
Maybe.
And in the worst possible way. that you could look at it for Adams is that they're hiring the advisor to eventually take his job when his contract runs out.
Right. That's the thing that could be looked at as the worst case scenario in hiring something like that in Adams' perspective. That means you should be making a bold statement. You should make a bold statement of why you need to be here. Why do we need you here? Tell us why. Because right now, what you've done is not enough. And again, to that number 9 pick, it's not the end of the world if they still have it. But a deal does need to be made at the same time.
Because you're right. Like, overall, the message is Adams has to have a busy offseason.
Yes.
May not trade the number 9 overall pick, but if he adds a number of free agents,
if there's a trade,
you feel good about it. Or he makes a trade with Bo Byram, you feel good about that.
Or even JJ, which I would hate, but, you know, I think it's because he's an ascending talent.
I mean, the caller had a good point, though. Like, this is not Ennis, Weber, and a third for a big guy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to trade players you probably don't want to see traded. Because, Derek, as you mentioned, the team's got to value him. If you despise the player, who's to say other teams are not going to be like, hey, kind of not great. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, and that was always one of my favorite things of, like, you know, people trying to suggest a trade for somebody. And it's like, oh,
here's my three least liked pieces and a crappy draft pick.
It's Matias Samuelson right now.
Yeah.
I want Matias Samuelson off the roster. Matias Samuelson, I need that number 9 pick to make him worth acquiring. Because other teams have scouts. Other scouts have eyeballs. Those eyeballs will see, he's not that great.
Yeah, the easy question, especially for Samuelson, is, okay, I don't want him on my roster. Who does?
Yeah. Other teams have scouts. Other scouts have eyeballs. The one exception we got was that Chuck Fletcher thought, my eyeballs tell me Rasmus Ristolainen's worth a first-round pick.
God, I miss that, man. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
We want to make great decisions on and off the field.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stefan will remain between him and I and the club.
Everything
that we're going to do, Karen, is we're going to coach the guys that show up at 8. And the ones that say, hey, I got a situation, we'll be at 8:05. We'll coach those as well. This is a voluntary part of our off-season program. Every player that's not here, which there aren't many, have been in communication with me and their position coaches.
That is Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. Yesterday with the media? I think that was yesterday. Mm-hmm. At OTA, Stephon Diggs, not at training camp. There may be a video out there that he is hanging out with.
There may be a video out there.
Some ladies.
Maybe.
Maybe. He is hanging out with some women, ladies, in swim attire. And there may have been a pink substance. Allegedly. I don't know. He's not there. We do know that.
I do love pink rock salt.
Pink rock salt. Hey, you know, we all love it.
It's a great cooking ingredient.
It's a great cooking ingredient.
Great cooking ingredient.
What we do know is Stephon Diggs is not at OTAs. It is a bit funny that this is, you know, look, ultimately, he's not a Bill. I don't really care. I do think it's funny that
yes.
a division rival has to deal with this. I will also say, Vrabel sounds like every coach having to talk about OTAs when a player's not there. Guys, stop asking me.
It's
voluntary. I'm going to say the same thing you hear every time.
Talk to me in a couple weeks with mini camp. That's when it's a bigger deal.
And even then, they'll be like, I don't know. He's not here.
Yeah.
He'll be here when he's here.
Yep.
You're going to get
quite literally what Sean McDermott said with James Cook.
Yeah.
He'll be here when he's ready. And that's fine for now.
Like, I feel bad for Vrabel because he's like, guys, I just want to talk about the players that are here.
I get it.
Every coach that has to go through it.
I get it. There's like this semblance that football's back. And again, shiny, shiny. chase the shiny. And the players aren't here. There's a certain player not here. Blah, 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 blah. And Miles Garrett's in Japan right now. Kevin Stefanski says these are voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Browns is the Browns, and there's reason for that sort of standard. But Stefanski sounds like a coach being asked about a player that's not at a voluntary workout.
They all just, every one of those coaches sound the same. They are so annoyed.
Ready?
By some of those questions.
Let's do an exercise here, Zach. You have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I do have a job. Thank you.
Okay. How often are you asked to do something voluntary?
It's phrased in a way that makes it seem voluntary. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go 50% of the time it's phrased as voluntary, but it's not.
Okay, ready? You work, say not us, not our job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different job. Someone out there with a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go home. You're done. You're done for your day. And someone messages you saying, hey, I would it be okay for you to stay around here? You're not going to get paid for it. It's voluntary.
But it's good team building.
It's good team building.
Here in the office. Oh, man, when you put it like that, that is awful.
Uh-huh.
Every soul on earth
is
like,
no. How many of you listening right now have gotten that dang email? And in your head, you went, nah, man, I'm good. I've got friends. I've got family. I've got kids at home.
I clock out at 5.
I'm out of here at 4:59 because you emailed me that.
See, when you do put it like that,
I'm leaving.
Oh boy.
Earlier because you sent that to me. I'm telling you right now, 1000%, that's something that people do. And some of those same people get extremely mad when a player is not at OTAs. Check yourself. It happens more in real life than you think.
That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we'll be on from 10 to 12 as well. Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle will join us as, well, the Yankees are getting ready to play Dodgers, and they did just sweep the other team in L.A. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Also hope to hear from you as well. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.